the visitors and the folks that we have here this morning. Welcome. Glad that you came. And I brought my cell phone up here for a reason. If any of y'all know me, I don't normally bring it up here. But there's a reason it's up here this morning. Proverbs chapter 4, go ahead and turn there. I appreciate Greg reading earlier from the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, there is that ideal of not turning to the left or turning to the right. We're going to talk a little bit about that here in the book of Proverbs as well. But as we think about those that phrase, we're going to look at that here in a little bit. But Proverbs chapter 4 is what we're going to be looking at this morning. And as I was thinking about next week's service, we're not going to per se have a Sunday school time. But if you would like to come to Sunday school time, you can help us set up for the service at 10:30. So next Sunday morning during Sunday school, the Sunday school hour there, we're going to take time to set up for the service at 10:30. So just keep that in mind as well. So Proverbs chapter 4. If you've got in your Bible, if it has little headings at the top of it that they kind of help you understand what's being spoken about. It says, a father's wise instruction. And really, in the book of Proverbs 1, 2, and 3, it is about this father's wise instructions. But reading through the book of Proverbs, you soon realize the heart and the passion that this father has for his son to succeed in life. I think as a father myself, I do not want my kids to fail. I don't want to see them... you might say lose in life. I want to see them succeed. I want to see them to be able to thrive. And as a father, let me back up. As a good father, I want to give to them the tools and the resources that they need. Now, on one end, I'm hoping they are listening to what I'm saying, that they're actually taking it in and absorbing it and putting into practice some of the things that I tell them. But as you read Proverbs chapters 1, chapters 2, chapter 3, and so forth, you see this father's heart for his son. I want things to be well with you. I want you to succeed in life. And so, in this case, the father is King Solomon, and he presses upon his son the need to seek after the Lord and his wisdom. And it's a wisdom that the Lord even gave to Solomon. And he says, I want you to seek after that as well. Seek after the Lord and the things of the Lord and his wisdom and his understandings about things. And so in Proverbs chapters 1, 2, and 3, we see the idea of gaining instruction, gaining wisdom and understanding. And what needs to happen for that, for that to take place. And so in chapter 1, there is the emphasis on the source, which is the Lord. And in this case, we have the fear of the Lord. The book of Proverbs starts off with this understanding that, hey, listen, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of all these things is this fear of the Lord. And so we start off with that. And so in Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to see coming out this aspect of staying true or stay true. Don't veer off of this path that you're going to that you need to go down. This path that starts with the Lord. Don't veer away from it. Don't go to the left or go to the right, as Scripture says. And so far, like I said, we saw in Proverbs chapter 1, the source of wisdom was the Lord, the fear of the Lord, particularly is the beginning of that. Proverbs chapter 2 is that wisdom protects, delivers a person from the ways of evil and from those who seek after things sinfully. That's what it's there to do. It's there to guard, to protect us. And then in chapter 3, we see how the father explains to his son not to lean on himself, on your own understanding. Don't lean on the things that are going on around you in this world. Don't lean on those things. Don't lean on yourself. And we saw in the book of in chapter 3 that there were six exhortations, and those exhortations were simply, follow God's command, reflect and mirror God's character, that steadfast love and faithfulness that God has. He also goes on and says to be confident in the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Complete and total confidence in Him. with all, and in all your ways acknowledge him. And so be confident in the Lord. He says also, again, he repeated that phrase, fear the Lord. In other words, make sure that you put God in his proper place, you respect him, understand who God is, what he's capable of doing, his abilities, understand the depth of who God is. Seek after those things and do those things. He goes on to say in chapter 3 that we are to honor the Lord by giving back to him. We're supposed to lean on the Lord with our wealth. And that we should also accept the Lord's discipline in our life. We're to lean on his discipline. And so in Proverbs chapter 3, we see, don't lean on yourself, but lean on the Lord. Trust in him in all aspects, all areas of your life. And so in the closing of chapter 3, last week in the message in chapter 3, we learned from the exhortations, and we saw that there are blessings that flow from those exhortations, and that we can lean on the Lord and his wisdom, because that same wisdom is what established creation. I mean, if you look around you in this world today, the depth and complexity of what we have going on around us, just yourself, the depth and complexity of yourself, it's amazing. It's amazing how God thought about all of these things. It's amazing how his wisdom pours out and shows itself in all of creation. And that same wisdom is there for us to tap into to help us in life. That same wisdom is there. And so you have blessings. We have that understanding of being established in creation, that wisdom established creation. And then also there are benefits from leaning on the Lord. And what are those benefits? Well, one thing was that confidence. When I say confidence, we're looking at it from the standpoint of confidant, somebody who's close and personal, somebody that talks to you. That is who God is. He wants to be close and personal in your life. And not only that, he says you're going to be blessed, you're going to be favored, and you're going to be honored. And that was what last week was concerning, was those three words, blessings, established, and benefits. And so when we think about those things, we go into this chapter 4, and the Father says, stay true in chapter 4. And so this morning in Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to go ahead and read verses 20 through 27. And then we're going to go ahead and pray after that. But Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. It says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left, but turn your foot away from evil. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to dive into it, to understand it, to read it. And help me as I do that. Have the clarity of thought and mind to convey the thoughts of this passage as well. That it be encouragement, to be a challenge to us as well. But ultimately, in the end, help us, Lord, to bring glory and honor to you. We do thank you for this opportunity this morning. May it be to your glory. It's in Christ's name. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 4. How many of us like to go hiking? Can you show your hands? For a long time, I did not feel like I could go hiking for a lot of reasons. But now that I feel better, and overall, I kind of want to get back out into the world and do things. And so one of those things would be for me to go hiking. But growing up, I went hiking a lot. Thinking back on it, I didn't realize how much I really did go hiking. But my parents liked to be outside. They liked to be outdoors. And we did a lot of those kinds of things. But true hiking requires several things. But most importantly, there's one thing that hiking requires. And that is for you to be focused on the path before you. If you get your eyes off the path, you don't know where you're going to end up. And sometimes you think, well, duh, I mean, you're going hiking, shouldn't you be focused on the path? But we take that for granted sometimes. And if you get carried away with everything else that's going on around you, you're going to lose sight of the path, and you're going to find out that, oh, I made a wrong turn somewhere. Why? Because you took your mind off the path. You weren't focused on it. And so that's one of the things, because when that happens, you end up getting lost, and when you get lost, well, a lot of things can happen then. And so the idea is you've got to stay focused on the path ahead. And so it's a very simple piece of information, but it's also even applicable to everyday activities. I mean, how many of us have ever tripped over the curb? I've tripped over the curb. How many of y'all have ever had the most embarrassing moment in your life when you turn around and boom, you just run into a post? You're just like, oh. It's why? Because you were looking off over here at something else, and you just kind of what? Kept walking, and next thing you know, you look up, and boom, right there across the center of your face, you nail that pole. You're like, oh, man, that hurt. And so, yeah, we lose sight sometimes. We get our minds on something else. When we think about car accidents and stuff like that, maybe you've had a car accident where you've ran into somebody, and more than likely, it's because you weren't paying attention. You got distracted. Maybe it was the cell phone. Maybe it was somebody else in another car next to you, and you got, oh, what's going on over there? Light turned red, you didn't stop, and you ran into the back of the person. Whatever that being, you weren't paying attention. It happens. You get distracted. I remember when I was, this was about 2010, maybe? 12, somewhere in there. One of the first cars that I ever had was a Dodge Neon. Well, actually, it was a Plymouth Neon. Let me back up. Plymouth and Dodge are the same thing. If you had a Neon, it was either made by Dodge or made by Plymouth. Mine was Plymouth. But I had a little Neon. And I loved that little car. It was a very simple car. No bells and whistles on it. You had to actually reach over and roll your window down on the other side. It's one of those cars. It was just two doors. You had to flip the car seat up for somebody to pile into the back, and when you got into the back, you'd go like this. And so, you know, it was a nice little car, but I enjoyed that car, and it ran great. It got me back and forth to work. It was a great little car until one day, somebody did not stop at the traffic light, and what did they do? They hit me. And the only thing that I remember is I stopped at the traffic light, I looked up in the rearview mirror, and I saw this. I was like, don't do this, do this. And next thing I know is I'm shooting off across the intersection, and I'm just like, okay, this is a new experience. Where am I at? Oh, yeah, I've got to get my bearings straight. Okay? And so for a second there, I was like, well, what happened? And by the time I got my, you know, wits about me and understanding of what was going on, everybody was just carrying on about their life as if I wasn't even there. Cars were going by, everything was happening. I was just like, okay, what do I do now? Because I'm just sitting here. Car started, car was fine. I pulled it off to the side. And my back end was in my, yeah. Almost in my back end is where the back end of my car was. But the police officer came. The police officer was like, what happened? I was like, a guy in a white utility van did this. Next thing I know, I'm here. And so I said, I don't see the white utility van anywhere, but it should be quite obvious the front end is going to be messed up. And so I have no clue whatever happened after that. Never, you know, that car was a hit and run. In other words, it hit me and took off. Well, I didn't have insurance. I don't know. But regardless, he didn't stick around. And the police officer had very little sympathy for me. I was very, it was like, really? I was like, what do you want me to do? He's like, whatever you want to do. I'm like, okay. I was like, well, okay. I said, can I drive my car home because it runs? He said, yeah. He said, just don't do anything else. Just go straight home. So I drove the car home. He got me home. It was completely totaled. I mean, there was no salvaging this car. But the point of that is somebody wasn't paying attention. And that one little act of not paying attention influenced somebody else. And that's what happens in our life. one act of not paying attention, not being alert, not being attentive. And you think, well, what is Proverbs trying to say here? And in chapter 4 has, you know, verse 20, my son, be attentive, be alert, pay attention to what I'm trying to say. Why? Because I am trying to help you not mess your life up and then also mess the lives of other people up around you. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Be alert, pay attention. He said, you'll have a much better chance, in this case, of seeing that car in front of you. Or in this case, you'll have a much better chance in life of being able to succeed and prosper and do well with things by paying attention to what he has to say. And so the idea with his wisdom is he says, hey, I want you to be able to stay true. I want you to be able to stay true in what's going on in your life. Go back with me to verse 10. We're going to read through verse 13. But verse 10, it says, hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. And when you walk, you step, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go in it, or go on it. Turn away from it, and pass on. I mean, it keeps going. It keeps going there with all of that. But suffice to say, as you read through this, there are two simple things that I want us to understand this morning about Proverbs chapter 4. Number one, to stay true requires choosing the right path. To stay true requires us choosing the right path. And that needs to be intentional. So we need to intentionally choose the right path. What does that mean? That means pay attention. Look at it. You've got to intentionally choose the right path. You don't just stumble upon it one day. Oh, I actually happen to be on the right path today. No, you're going to have to intentionally choose it. So in verses 14 and 15, he says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. He says, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness. They drink the wine of violence. He tells you, hey, you've got to stay away. You've got to intentionally choose the right path. Because you're just naturally going to kind of get on the wrong path. It's there. You're going to have to intentionally choose the right path. You're going to have to intentionally avoid it. And so it cannot be made any clearer. The path of the wicked, the way of evil. The Father says, avoid it at all costs. You avoid that path. And so it's intentional. It's an active avoidance. And so when you are encountered with a situation and it is evident that it is clearly wrong, you are to be active in avoiding it. You are to intentionally stay away from it. You are to intentionally choose the right path. You stay away from it. I think of a very simple example. Maybe some of you have been in business before, but choosing who you might want to go into a business relationship with. Be careful. Make sure you choose the right path, because perhaps that person that you're going into a business relationship has some very shady business morals and ethics, shady business practices. You've got to be careful. You're going to have to avoid that, and you're going to have to be intentional about it. You have to avoid those things. One of the problems is once you get on that bad path, that evil path, he says it consumes you. And that's what verses 16 and 17 talks about. It says they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. Because it says you eat it like the bread. You eat it like bread of wickedness. You drink it like it's wine. Okay? He says it consumes you. You're overtaken with it. And it's almost as if you have to have it in order to feed, in order to live. You're consumed by it. Verses 8 and 9 explains that difference between the path of righteous and the path of the wicked. On the path of the righteous, it's described as the morning dawn in which the day gets brighter and brighter until there's full sun outside. And yet the path of the wicked is an ever darker path. The righteous will have the benefit of daylight. They'll be able to see what's around them. They'll be able to see the things that are going on around them. But the ones who are wicked, their path is like a dark path. You're going to stumble. You're not going to see what's there. I remember when I was younger, when I was in my teenage years, my cousins and I, we would go caving, spelunking. And there was this one cave that we went to. It was a wonderful little cave system. And there was one little place in the cave where you could crawl up this little hole that's no bigger than I am. And when you crawled up through this little hole, it opened up into this big old room. And you're like, wow, it's like, how does this thing ever get here? And I'm thinking it probably was once full of water. But you have this big old room, big old, you know, cave, and you flash and you're shining your light, and you can't even see the other end of the room with your flashlight. It is a big old room in that cave. But there was a section in that cave that was extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. I mean, there was, as you walk, you know, as you're going through the cave, there's writing on the wall, so to speak. And literally, there was writing on the wall telling you to be careful ahead. Because as you follow this path, and it is a fairly wide path for the most part, but this path is this nice wide path. You've got your lights and everything. And that was one thing about going caving, is you always brought an extra flashlight. You always brought extra batteries. You always had backups. I remember one time when we turned off our lights and we sat there without our lights on. We were trying to conserve battery while we were having lunch. And I was like, oh, here it is. Okay. I mean, that's how it is. It's so dark. I mean, you can't see anything. There's nothing. There's nothing reflecting anything in there. Pitch dark. You can't even see kind of like a, you know, the faint shadow, the faint, you know, outline of it. It's pitch dark. You literally have to feel your way around. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, this is great. They've got writing on the wall. What's ahead? And so my cousin had already been to that cave before, and he said, yeah. They said, up ahead, you got to be very careful. I said, okay, that's cool. We'll be very careful. Well, this part of the cave was extremely wet, and at the center of the path that you walk, there were these pits, big old pits. Okay, I can't really describe how big these pits are, but big old pits. And he said, yeah, there's a rope on the side over here that you've got to grab a hold of, and you walk your way around those pits. And he said, stop here. Let me show you what happens. And he took the rock, he dropped it into the pit. Really? That deep? Matter of fact, it was so deep that when it hit down there at the bottom, by the time the echo came back up to you, it was very faint. You could barely even hear it. I was like, that's deep. He said, yeah, don't fall in there. I was like, really? Like, duh. Don't fall in there. You would never get me out. I would be dead. I mean, no kidding. I mean, that's how deep it was. These pits in the middle of this. And he said, yeah, you've got to hold that rope along the side if you were to slip. And it was very, you know, because it was wet, it was very slippery. It was very easy for you to right down in that pit. And I'm thinking, why am I in this place now? But it was a beautiful little cave system. And without those lights, we would have never seen those pits. We would never have known about that rope. But because we had those things, we saw them. And when he describes here that the wicked, the path of the wicked, is a dark path, that's the mind that what comes to my mind. Not just dark outside and, you know, there's no moon out, there's the star. Not that kind of dark. I'm talking about pitch dark. Where you have to feel what's around you in order to, you know, get a bearings on what's going on. And you dare not move because you don't know what you're fixing to step on or step into. That kind of dark. Wicked, sinful lifestyle consumes you to the extent that you no longer realize the trouble that you are in. Now, I've seen people who have some very horrible lives. And many of those people did not realize how horrible they had gotten themselves into their problems until they have had something happen in their lives. Maybe it was a lost loved one. Maybe it was some other kind of accident. Maybe something they realized really how deeply they had gotten into their situation, and that was what jarred them to realize how dark it was around them. They said being on the right path brings security. It speaks of the path speaks of not being hampered, of not having to stumble, and it guarding you. Why? Because the path is clear. You can see it. You can easily see it. To stay true means choosing the right path. You have to intentionally choose the right path. You have to intentionally avoid the one that leads to sin, the one that is the wrong path. And there's also that part about being intentionally alert. You have to be intentionally alert. In verses 1 and 20, verse 1 it says, "Hear, O son, a father's instruction, and be attentive." And in verse 20, he repeats that again. He says, "My son, be attentive. Pay attention. Listen. Be alert. Think about what I am saying." I am so thankful that I had a good father. And oftentimes, when he really wanted to get my attention, and he wanted to say something to me, he said, "Hey, son, pay attention to this. You need to understand this. Pay attention to this. This is going to help you out. Pay attention. This is important." And paying attention requires us to be intentional as well. Because I remember there were times when I should have been paying attention to my dad, but my mind was off on something else and I didn't pay attention. And when I didn't pay attention and it was time for me to do or respond to whatever dad had asked me to do, I didn't know what to do. Why? Because it might have hit my eardrums, but it didn't register in between. I wasn't being attentive. I wasn't being alert. And so here I am. I'm trying to figure out, okay, now I've got to do this. And do I dare go ask my dad what to do when he already sat there and told me everything I should have been doing? Do I go there and ask him about that? Sometimes I have to say, yeah, I've got to go do that. Sometimes I was fortunate enough that God gave me a good enough brain to figure things out. But at the same time, it's important to understand what he wanted me to do and not the way he wanted me to do it. Pay attention. Listen. Proverbs 2:2 states it like this. He says, "Making your ear attentive to wisdom." That word there is make yourself. You have to make yourself. Yeah, there's distractions over here, but you're going to have to say, no, I've got to focus on this. You know, Lana, on Wednesday night, I told the kids, I said, one thing that's going to help you out really easy is our up rules. And part of our up rules is you've got to, head up, you got to listen up. All right, what's the other up rule? Does anybody want to sit up and hand up? All right, that's our up rules, okay? They're there for a reason. Why? Because if those things are happening, I know that you're what? You're being attentive. Okay? But if your mind is over here, you're not going to be attentive. You're not going to be looking. You're thinking about the microphone. You're thinking about the person next to you and what they wore. You're thinking about, well, what am I going to do when I get home? But if you're looking at me, you're more apt to what? Be attentive. To be alert. To think about the things that are being said. Okay? And so it's got to be intentional. You've got to make yourself do this. And typically it is when we let our guard down that something is what, that's what catches us. That's the reason why we have that phrase that caught us off guard, right? Caught us off guard. We're not focused on what's going on. And so in verse 4, it tells us to hold fast. Verse 4 tells us to hold fast. He says, "He taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments." That hold fast is the idea of grasping it. When it says grasp, it's not grasping as in just, I'm just lightly holding it in my hand. It's intentional. I know I have it in my hand. I've grasped it. And how many of you have ever dropped your cell phone? I'll raise my hand up. I'm fortunate that I have dropped my cell phone and it has not got a cracked screen. How many of you have a cracked screen on your cell phone? Okay, so some of you have not grasped your cell phone very well, right? I remember yesterday, I got out of my car and I didn't have my phone in my hand. I wasn't grasping it. It was sitting in my lap, and guess what? I forgot that it was sitting in my lap. And what happened when I got out of the car? Boom! On the ground it went. I was like, oh no, pick it up. Yeah, it's not broken. Okay, so all the extra security precautions were this nice case on the outside, the nice little protective screen. It worked. No. The thing is, if I'd have been paying attention and grasped this and had a hold of it, what would happen? The phone would fall out of my hand. I'm thinking about this right now. I'm holding on to it. My attention is on this right here. And no matter what happens right now, I'm not going to drop it. But as soon as my mind gets off of this and I stop thinking about it, my grasp lessens. I don't have it. And that's when we do what? We drop it. Right? That's what happens. We drop it. And that's when we pick it up and we think, oh, my screen's cracked. It's intentional. That's the point that the Father's trying to make here. You've got to grasp this thing. You have to hold on to it. You have to think about it. It has to be right there. You hold fast to it. There are plenty of other words in chapter 4 that talks about this idea or understanding that you've got to be attentive, you've got to grasp this. And he says it by saying, do not forget. You know, don't turn away. Don't forsake. You've got to love this. You've got to prize it. And all those are words that he's trying to say. Hey, listen, you have got to focus on this. It's got to be something close and dear to you, because if you let it go, it's going to mess things up. Something's going to break. Something's going to fall apart. So the Father says, hey, listen, you have got to be alert. You've got to be attentive. It's got to be intentional. Earlier, I talked about hiking. And in hiking, you want to make sure that every step counts, especially if you're doing long-distance hiking. I think about all those people who hike the Appalachian Trail. They start in Georgia, they hike it all the way up to Maine in one fell swoop. And when you hike that, you want to make sure that every step counts. And in order to do that, you have to stay focused on that path. You have to stay focused on it. Paying attention to the trail is not just simply looking at your feet the whole time. Paying attention to the trail is not looking out at the beautiful, horizon as you're standing on the peak of that hill or that mountain, as you're looking out over the valley. It's not paying attention, is looking at the path ahead and knowing not just where your foot lands, but know where your foot needs to go. You have to pay attention. You have to look ahead. And so when you're hiking, you got to say, hey, listen, I can't just look down the whole time. Because if I look down the whole time, what am I going to do? I'm going to run into something. It's not going to matter where I put my feet then, because I'm looking with my feet the whole time. But if I got to look up at the path and pay attention to that path. That way, if there's something that is not quite right with the path, I know how to navigate that and manage it. Alertness, attentiveness. You have to look around. You've got to pay attention to the path. It helps navigate those obstacles. Two things. So to stay true, there's intentional. You have to intentionally choose the right path. And there's the intentional part of being attentive. You have to actually pay attention to it. Grasp it. Hold on to it. Think about it. You have to be attentive. We've talked about the fear of the Lord. And that the fear of the Lord is the source of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, those kind of things. And my question this morning is, do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? Do you understand the capabilities of God? Do you understand the depth of His power? Do you understand the authority that He has over all creation? Do you understand that out of His wisdom, His knowledge, and understanding that all creation was made? And do you understand that also in God's wisdom is the way He provided for us salvation? For the person of Jesus Christ. Do you fear the Lord? understand your need for Christ? Do you understand your need for salvation? Do you fear the Lord? Today, for you and me to fear the Lord, to fear God, it must start with that understanding. Our need for the person of Jesus Christ. And this morning, if that's something for you that you said, hey, I've never understood my need for Christ in my life, how do I accept that? What do I do? It's very simple. Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's very simple. There's no special, thing that you have to do. You just simply put your faith and trust in the work of Jesus Christ. Now, if that's something this morning that you would like to talk to me about and choose for yourself and make that choice known this morning, I would encourage you to come and talk to me. I would love and enjoy talking to you about that more and tell you and show you what Scripture has to say about what Christ has done for you. But this morning, maybe you do fear the Lord. Maybe you do have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But you're struggling with your relationship with Him. You turn to Proverbs. Proverbs says you need to fear the Lord. You need to lean on Him. You need to allow His wisdom to protect you. And we come to this passage and it says, hey, you need to intentionally choose the right path. You need to intentionally be alert. That's my encouragement to you this morning. To stay true. In order to stay true in your relationship, you've got to intentionally choose the right path. You've got to intentionally be alert. You have to actually realize and think about the cell phone that's in your lap and pick it up and hold it and grasp it so you don't drop it. And that's what the father is trying to tell his son. Make it intentional. And as your relationship with the Lord grows and continues to grow, you'll understand and realize that idea of staying true even clearer and clearer. As the path is like the day, as the sun comes up, things get brighter and brighter, and you start to understand and you start to realize things more about who God is and His creation and the world around you and who people are and the very understanding of the nature of people, and you understand what goes in life and you understand it, and what that means that you're doing. What you don't realize you're doing is you grow in your relationship with the Lord. What you're doing is you're starting to put things in perspective with God's Word. Oftentimes we call that a biblical worldview. And what happens is you start filtering things through what God's Word has to say, and it really starts to, this makes a lot more sense now. I understand why this stuff happens in this world. Choose the right path. Be alert. Make it something that's intentional in your life. Stay true by intentionally choosing the good path and staying alert. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity this morning. Help us as believers in Christ. Help us to stay true. We have to intentionally choose the right path. We have to intentionally be alert and pay attention to the world around us. And in order for us to do that, we do have to look back and see that the Father says, you've got to, we've got to fear you. We've got to put you in your proper place and respect you. And for us today, that involves a relationship with you and Jesus Christ. We have to lean on you. We have to allow your wisdom to guard us and protect us. Lord, help us to intentionally do that. Help us to stay true. And Lord, there is so much in this world that wants to distract us. Lord, help us to stay true. Keep focus. Lord, even when we do stumble, I'm so thankful that you're there to forgive us, and you're there to keep us and put us back on the right path again. And that we can turn to you, and you will forgive us, and you will help us. And Lord, we praise you for that as well. We thank you for this time this morning, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. May it be something that has been glorifying to you. It's in Christ's name.